So like I was saying, this is a great day. This is the day that the Lord has made. And we want to welcome you here this morning to Father's House here in Christchurch, Dorset. So, and Dave and Katie up there in Northampton, we welcome you guys. Lovely to have you on. And the ones from Ireland, we just bless you guys for being on with us today. So God is good. So I want to talk to you a little bit about alignment of your identity, who we are, what God says we are, and who we need to train our minds to think in the ways of God so we realize in our spirit who we are before God, that you're sons and daughters of the Most High God. So, but did you realize, first of all, I want to just share this little quick whippet with you, because a whippet goes fast, so you got to catch this as I share it. Do you know that Jesus was intentional in his healing power to release people and set them into their identity? He always had a reason behind when he touched someone's life or he spoke to them. He was intentional about awakening the spirit in them to reach the full potential that had been dreamt in heaven about them. One example is the Samaritan woman who Jesus went out of his way through Samaria, a place that the Jews in those days didn't go through because they were like unclean. Now, this thing happened because obviously Jesus and the Father were talking and felt it was right that he went there to have this encounter with the Samaritan woman at the well. What happened? Well, and I think it's quite significant that in John 4, verse 10, listen to, they were having this sort of bit of discussion at the well, and then the woman in verse 9 says, "Therefore, the Samaritan woman said to him, 'How is it that you, being a Jew, ask me a drink since I am a Samaritan woman?' And verse 10, Jesus answered and said to her, 'If you knew the gift of God,'" there is a significant key there. "If you knew the gift of God." And then he says to her, "And who it is who says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." There's the hook that the Lord put upon the Samaritan woman. If you had realized who you're actually speaking to, who you're having an encounter with today, your life will radically change. And you know that the whole conversation goes over about the living water, but he uncovers about her, and he knew, just let her know that he knew so much about detail of her life. So the word of knowledge was activated, but from that, it wasn't to punish, it was to lift her higher, because prophetic and word of knowledge is always to deal with encouragement and calling people to be higher than where they are. You may see them in the dirt, but you want to call them to where God sees them in his kingdom. You never want to criticize or punish or put down. You're always intentional about calling people higher, because that's the love of Jesus that dwells in you. You know, so that encounter was the Samaritan lady's encounter that day that transformed her life, sent her back into the town where she met all the men who were sitting at the city gates, and said, "You need to come see this man. He knew everything about me. You need to meet him." And of course, with that, Jesus ended up spending the next 2 days there in Samaria, just talking and just teaching and training and healing them. So that was an encounter with Jesus that has set her on the pathway that she should have been on, set her into her identity, and she was never the same again. The demoniac in the Gadarenes garden, that encounter totally shattered off him, broke every chain, every hindrance, every demonic demon that was in him, and because it says there was thousands in him. But that one encounter with Jesus dealt with it all. And what happened? He says, "Jesus, I want to follow you." And Jesus said, "No, you're going to go back to your hometown. That's where you'll find your identity." And so Jesus sent him on his mission trip. Just after getting saved, encountering God and the power of God, his identity was revealed with him, and he went off back to his hometown, where he shocked people because they knew him for who he was and didn't expect that change, that radical change that set that man free from his captivity. And he became a powerful witness in that area for the Lord Jesus Christ. So your identity is what God sees in you and wants to call out of you. So we want to look at that today to see what it is. So I'll warn you, we're going to jump around a few scriptures today, but I'm using scripture because it is the truth. It's the word of God. It's the truth. It's the Bible that we live by. And it's the word of God that brings life. It says it's a two-edged sword and it cuts through all the rubbish, sets us free, breaks the chains, and we get to walk out and live the identity that Jesus and God and the Holy Spirit desire to be around us so we live it out. Amen? So I think where I really want to start is identity comes from something that you know. Now, a police officer will put on his police uniform, and that gives him identity. And in his identity, he finds his freedom to exert the power. So when he steps out in front of your car and puts his hand up, you know his uniform means you had better stop. You had better obey the signals he is giving you, because that man knows his identity, knows his authority. And so a plumber, when he comes into your house to fix a leaky pipe, you don't stand there trying to tell him, well, I think it's this, I think it's that. Mm-hmm. No, you show him the position and you allow him to deal with the problem. He's the qualified one. That's his identity. You know, so when you look at identity, where do we get our identity from as girls and as women and as men? We get it usually from our mainstream, which is the father in our home. Fathers have a job to name their children, to call out their identity, and to call them into where they should be. Now, unfortunately, we live in a society where that is not always the case, and some fathers that have been around are absent and not around anymore, and children have been damaged because of the lack of a father's input. That's why marriage is so, so significant. Family was a design of God's kingdom, and he treasures it, because out of the family comes security and comes the walk of identity. And you learn a lot of that when you're in your younger years, walking out towards the father's relationship. And if your father is not one that you consider a good father, well, then let me tell you today that your father in heaven has your identity. Your father in heaven will never let you down. Your father in heaven has your best interests at heart. You know, he says that he holds you in the palms of his hand. He says that nothing will pluck you out. There you go. There's security for you. Nothing's going to hurt you. Nothing's going to come against you, because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. So there you have. You've got to take your confidence in your maker, in your design planner, in your identity giver today. And I think the best place to start is in Matthew chapter 3 and verse 17. And this is Jesus with John the Baptist coming up out of the waters of baptism, and the heavens open and the dove descends. And this is his father that speaks over him. And this is what he says. This is my son. In front of everybody that's around there on that day at the baptismal waters, God speaks in an audible voice that people hear his declaration. This is my son whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Mm-hmm. Now, there is the very start of Jesus's ministry, and his father opens heaven and speaks a father's blessing, an identity saying over his own son, acknowledging him before man. You know, and I think that's just an amazing place. Where do you get your identity from? Your father. Yes. Your father is your identity. Your father gives you permission. And I'm just talking about men. I'm talking about women as well. We are all one in the body of Christ. We're all one in the kingdom. So when I say a man I mean both. I mean the man and the woman. There's no difference in the kingdom of God. God placed man and woman together. And so we have different roles, different functions. But when the Bible speaks about us, it speaks about us in joint roles, not singling out. You know, so be clear on that today, that as far as identity goes, God's speaking to both man and woman. Yeah, he's the one that created us in the garden. He put us together, he formed us, and he knew what he was up to. He knew what he was doing, and he knew what he was setting in motion way back in the Garden of Eden. You know, so God is good. You know, Jesus operated in a son relationship with his Father. They communed together. They talked. Jesus took time, even when the heaviness of ministry was on him. The Bible says that Jesus went away for sometimes 40 days in the desert. Why? Because he needed to replenish, he needed to restore, and he needed to hear again from his Father to open up the airways between both of them. So when the Father was thinking of something in heaven, Jesus was the first to know about it because they communicated and communicated well. So out of identity, you get your ability to communicate with the Father because he gives you the what? He gives you the open door today. This is you and I am me, says God. But I invite you to come into my kitchen. I invite you to come and sit at my table because I've got things I want to share with you. And if you listen with your ears and if you see with your eyes, then you begin to see what the Father is up to. And that's where we lean towards, we move towards, and we go and operate as the Father wants us to operate. It's important that we get this today because if you get to realize who you are and know who you are, then you get that security in your heart that you know that you know that you know. And then you're not easily rocked. You're not easily put off your course. So when you know who you are, that you are a son or a daughter of the King of Kings, that he places a royal robe upon you, that he died for you, so he counts you as special. You don't die for someone you don't count as special. You know, and that's why today, if you don't know Jesus Christ, then John 3:16 says, "For God so loved his only son that he sent him to die to make a way for us to come into a relationship with Jesus." What do you do about that? Well, it's simple. You literally acknowledge Jesus Christ today and say, "I am feeling so unworthy, but I know that you died and that you paid a price on a cross and you broke the power that holds me back in life called sin. And that when you rose again on the third day, you made a way for me to come back into relationship with God the Father. And all I need to do today is say, yes, God, yes, Jesus, I accept you as a Savior and I submit my life to you. And then seek other believers out. Go find them somewhere. Talk to them. Let them share more to you about this new Father that you've come into a relationship. But if you're doing that even right now, you're going to sense this great lightness lift, you know, this great lightness come upon you because what you've been carrying, he takes away and he washes it all clean and he makes you feel like a brand new person. He says he washes you as white as snow. So God is good. You don't want to let him walk past you. You want to grab him with both arms and say, "Hey, are you my dad? Can we get to know each other? How do I get to know you, God? I want you. I want you as my Savior and enter into the life-changing circumstance that you'll never be the same again." Because it's like your life gets stopped right there and then. The old gets washed away and you begin a brand new page of the rest of your life and you will never regret it because God has plans. He has an identity for your life. So grab it today. It's something that he gives us for free. You don't have to pay for it. You don't have to work for it. You just have to say, "I receive God. I receive what your gift is for me, and I receive it today." Yeah, amen. Exciting, isn't it? Yeah, you want a life transformation? Then Jesus is the one you need to encounter. He's the one you need to say yes to. Come on. So, and I want to just take your new identity through Jesus. If we go and look at 2 Corinthians and chapter 5 and verse 17, it says there, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. So there's the Bible, the Word of God, backing up what we've just talked about, that your slate gets cleaned, that you start afresh, because there you go in 2 Corinthians 5, he says, you are a new creation, and that the old has gone and the new has come. So take confidence in that scripture, because that is for you today. You start this new journey. And then, you know, Numbers, if you can turn over quickly to Numbers, the book of Numbers, and chapter 13. And if you take a look at the verse 30, I'll just read this here to you. Verse 30, then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, we should by all means go up and take possession of it, for we will surely overcome it. But the men who had gone up with him said, we are not able to go up against the people, for they are too strong for us. So they gave out to the sons of Israel a bad report of the land, which they had spied out, saying, the land through which we have gone is spying it out, is a land that devours its inhabitants, and all the people whom we saw in it are men of great size. There also we saw the Nephilim, the sons of Anak, and the part of the Nephilim, and we became like grasshoppers in our own sight, so we were in their sight. And so there's a scripture there when they were, the reports that come back about the promised land, and some come back and said, don't want to go there. That's dangerous. And then these guys, I've seen them. These guys are like The Rock. You know the movie star, The Rock, but bigger than him. So we don't want to face these guys. They make us look like grasshoppers in front of them. So this sent a report to the people about it, scared them and thought, maybe we don't need to go in there just yet. And so a bad report makes you look at something completely different. And the God saying, you're not a grasshopper. You're a royal son. You are like David before Goliath. It took one stone to take him out. Even though he was big and mighty as far as the Philistines were concerned, yet a boy, a servant king, on his way to being a king, took out this giant in the land that stood and ridiculed his God. And so you don't need to be big in stature. You just need to know who you are. You need to know your identity. And with that, then you go out and kill some giants and take joy in it, because there'll be pleasure in knowing that you have defeated something that has come against your life. Amen? You are not a defeatist. You're not designed to be a grasshopper. And if that's how you think, well, then you better change your thinking today, because that's not the plan of God for your life. And that is a wrong thought. That is a stupid thought that you carry in your head, and you need to get rid of it today, because God did not plan your life and make He knows exactly what you're doing and where you're going with it. So I just thought I'd throw that in there. That's one for free. And so basically our thing is to believe. We're called to believe. We're called to believe, and it's when we believe, then things change. Romans 12 and verse 2 speaks about the renewing of the mind, and this is all part of the process. If you're thinking you're a grasshopper, well, then you've got a small view of your God. You may even have a bigger view of the devil, and that's the opposite to what the truth is. It's small devil, big God, and you need to change that mentality. You need to change that mindset. Because while you remain in that previous mindset of small God, big devil, well, then you're going to get defeated, because you're not in the place where you're meant to be. You haven't become and risen into the warrior son and the warrior daughter that you're meant to be, and realize that your God is big, your God is powerful. And that's why the scripture says, greater is he that lives in you than he that lives in the world. That's the authority that's been handed to you. The minute you said yes to Jesus, the power and authority of the risen Christ came and dwelt inside of you. That same power that says that rose Jesus from the dead dwells in who? Well, it dwells in you. It dwells in me. That's the power. That's the authority. That is your rock base, because he is known as the rock, Christ Jesus. You stand upon the rock, you'll not go far wrong. You stand on sinking sand, well, then you're liable to go under. But you choose who you walk with. You choose and determine in here, in your mind, I am going to walk in a power relationship with the Lord God Almighty. And giants and kingdoms and nations Well, Psalm 2 says, ask of me and I'll give you the nations. So you want to ask God for something big and believe that God is going to give it to you because you've gone as a son or a daughter before a father and asked for something, and he will be pouring out blessings upon you in his name. You know, so I remember a few years ago, we were in one of the buildings in Summerford, and we actually had a lady friend that we knew from the forest, went and collected this guy because he wanted to go to a church, never had believed, never had any time for God, never needed God. And so at 80 years of age, she brings him along to the church that morning before we started. And why did she bring him? Because he had got an ulcerated sore on his lower leg that wasn't healing. And she had told him, said, well, these people believe in healing. If you come along, I don't care whether you don't believe in God. That's not the point. Do you want to get healed? And she basically said to him, what have you got to lose? So this 80-year-old man gets out of his house, gets in the car with her, comes to church before we start, and comes in, and she brings him across to us, and he looks at me and he said, so I hear you're the healers. And we said, well, we know the healer, and said, we can pray for you. What's wrong? And he pulls up his trouser leg and shows the wound that he has on his leg that wasn't healing. I just knelt down on the ground and put my hands right around both sides of his lower leg. And I just said, watch. And we just called the Holy Spirit to come. And what did we say? Father, come, love on this son of yours today. Love him well. And in the name of Jesus Christ, I command healing to come back into this. I command his flesh to actually stop eating away, and I command his flesh to renew and be whole. And he had lost all sensation in his foot. He couldn't even feel pins and needles. And when I finished praying, and we'd finished praying with him, he felt sensation coming back into his foot. And he started tapping his foot in the ground. And he was on a cane. And I said to him, take a little walk around the hall and come back and let us know how you feel. And so he walks away a few feet, turns to come around, and he swings his stick up behind his back. So he holds it in both hands and he walks back towards me, said, wow. He said, that has totally changed. I said, now you said to this lady that if God was able to prove himself to you today, that he could heal, you would say yes to him. What do you want to do? And at 80 years of age, this man said yes to his Savior that he had just been introduced to because God loved on him and showed him that he was real. Amen? You know, so that man at 80 years of age stepped from a non-believer into a believing believer because he's seen the power of God as God poured it out upon him. Amen. So miraculous signs and wonders, they're about today, and we get to do them because greater is he that is in me, in you, than he that's in the world. You're identified as a light and one that changes atmospheres, ones that actually go out and actually encounters people and leads them into an encounter with God. Amen. So you need to understand that the difference between a friend and a servant. A servant does what he's instructed to do. He has no choice in it. He is owned by the master, and he doesn't get a say. He doesn't get to say, oh, actually, I think we should do this because it looks better to me, and I think it would work better. No, a slave and a master relationship, there is no relationship other than do, because I have spoken. Now, that is not us. When you enter into a relationship with Jesus Christ, he becomes your Lord and Savior. He also becomes your brother, your friend, and your true person around your life. So a friend gets off another friend. He actually gets the rights and the abilities to feel like a friend, to walk as a friend, to talk with a friend. And if your friend says to you, hey, how about we go over today and we do some fishing off the quay? Well, friend might turn around and say, hey, how about I take you out in my boat and we go fishing at sea? You know, so there's that link and that communication that happens between a friend and Jesus. And so you're known as friends of Jesus because you said yes. You know, so you're a son and a daughter. In John 1 and verse 13, it says there in Scripture that we are children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. This is your new ultimate identity. Come on. And you just love that? You know, you're not here by choice. You're here by the fact that God had you planned, and you're here right alive in this season at this time because God knew you, he says in Scripture, before you were even born, before you were in your mother's womb. Come on. He knows the very number of the hairs in your head. Some of us are getting a little bit less on the top, but he says he knows. That's the much detail he knows about you. And in 1 John, this is 1 John now, chapter 3 and verse 1, he said, how great is the love of the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. That is what we are. Scripture underlines it just pure and simply there. Romans 8, verse 16 and 17. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Not if we are children, then we are heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. Do you see who you are? Do you see where God says you are, where he sees you, that you're co-heirs with him? You're not just a son and daughter. You're actually royalty. He's brought you into his royal family. He has wrapped his arm around you. He calls you brother. He calls you daughter. And he adorns you with gifts because he welcomes and he loves. And he loves you into the Father's family in great ways. Amen. Galatians 4 and verse 7. So you're no longer a slave, but a son. And since you're a son, God has made you also an heir. So that just confirms that again. And, you know, as God's children, we get to have access, we get to have intimacy, and we get to have influence, and we get authority. Now, let me back it up with a few scriptures on that. And the first one we want to look to is access. What do we mean by access? Hebrews 4 and verse 16. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence. So that's an open door to come right into the Holy of Holies, where God dwells in his presence. We've got an access door provided to us by Jesus Christ. Amen. And then in John 5 and verse 19, the Son can do nothing on his own. We said a little bit about that earlier, that the, you know, Jesus and the Father communicated well. They talked with each other. And then when God says, hey, how about you go to Galilee today? We're going to do some signs and wonders, and I want you to meet X, Y, and Z. And this is going to happen. And so Jesus goes prepared because he's found out what the Father's hand is on. And so if he walks in what the Father wants to do, then there comes the power, there comes the authority, and there comes the shift and the change that will happen when he meets those people. So he has an intimate relationship with his Father. And we need to work on that because it's key to walking out a successful life before the Father. You cannot call him brother. You cannot call him Father and not know him. If you know him, you'll desire to know him even more. If you don't know him, who's missing out? Well, he is, but you are as well, because you're not walking in the fullness that has been granted to you out of his love to be the son, the daughter, and the royal person within his kingdom. That's why he says to you, that you are seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. So we've got a mortal part. We're alive and kicking here on earth, but we're also, our spirit is already in heaven, seated, you know, in the heavenly realms, so we get to dwell in two kingdoms. Now, that's a little bit hard to get your head around, but that all comes with the renewing of your mind and learning the doors that the Lord has provided for you to operate in and to walk through. Yeah? So he comes with freedom. He comes to set you free, and you get to walk in his ways. And in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 7 to 8. Ask and it will be given to you, for everyone who asks, what? Receives. He gives it. He gives good gifts. He's the Father that he says, if you come to me and ask me for bread, I'm not going to be the type of Father that gives you a stone. No, I give you good gifts. Why? Because I'm your Father. And a father loves to give gifts to his children. So he loves it when we come and we ask him for things. And then he grants us and sets us on a pathway to get us to where he wants us to be. Matthew 10 and verse 1. He gave them the authority to drive out evil spirits, to heal every disease and sickness. Now, you can't do that in the natural, but you can do it under the authority and auspices of the power of the risen Christ. And that authority has been given to you. It has been given to me, and we get the privilege of walking that out here in life right now. We get to do signs, wonders, and miracles. You know, we get to speak to the dead. We get to call them back out, you know, and call them back to life again. We get to heal diseases. Like the gentleman I was speaking about a few minutes ago, his leg got healed. Why? Because he took the chance, well, I'll give this thing a try. And he stepped out of his comfort zone and came into a church that he had no time for. And he found the God he'd been running from. He found his friend. And he started a brand new journey and a new life with him. A son and a daughter, I mean, if my son, although he doesn't live at home anymore, but because he's my son, he can walk through the door into this house at any time. And if he wants to, he's got permission to go and grab a sandwich or something out of the fridge to help himself to some food, come in and sit, watch TV with me and just chill. Why? Because he's my son. He is family. And so you get the privilege of family when you're in family. If the carpenter comes to hang a new door for me in the house, and I've let him in the house and I'm busy doing some stuff, and I walk in and I find him opening the door of my fridge and starting to lift out food, that will be you got no rights to that. In fact, get out, because that's not yours. You're not my son. You're not family. You're here to do a job. And you don't get access to the food in my cupboard because you're not family until you become family. And so there's that whole thing of sonship and being in the right place with the King that gives you access to certain things. If you take the example in Judaism, a son became a man, stepped into his manhood when he was 12 years of age. And his son would be taken with the father down to the marketplace, down to the gate of the city where the men would talk and hang out. And the father would declare publicly with his arm around him, "This is my son. From now on, if he turns up at your stall to purchase something, he has come with my authority and you will know that you will get paid. I am his dad. And today I declare he's my son. And he carries the same authority as I do to purchase off you guys." So out of that, he honored his son before men, just like God did when Jesus came out of the waters of baptism. He placed an honor upon him and made a public a declaration over his son, in whom I am well pleased. So there's something about honoring our sons and even honoring our daughters, men, that's important, because it sets a precedent. And it actually honors, and out of honor comes love and acceptance. And the daughter will know that she's safe and secure with a father that reaches out and loves her, but honors her and protects her and watch over her life. That's what fathers are meant to do. Fathers are meant to call out their sons as well, and to actually teach, train, and equip them to be ready for life. Mums teach, train, and equip daughters to be ready for life as well. So it's a joint adventure that parents get to parent children well and set them up, not for failure, but set them up for a life that will actually be good for them in the long run. So there was a couple of things that was coming to mind. So if you've got your Bibles there, turn with me to John chapter 21. Now, we spoke earlier about how identity sets you up for the purposes of God. Do you have identity in God? I do. I know you guys do as well. So we're just chatting this through and learning and going a bit deeper. So John 21, this is the story where Jesus has died. He's already appeared to the disciples. But he, the Savior, he, the one that walked with him, he, the instructor, he, the trainer, wasn't actually there anymore with them. And so on this particular occasion, what happens? Simon Peter turns around and says, "Hey guys, I don't really know what's happened, but I'm going out fishing today. Anybody want to come?" And so out of a life where the Lord had called them to walk with him, to be not fishermen, but fishers of men, what he knew, he returned back to. What was comfortable to him, Simon Peter returned to and said, "Anybody coming with me? I just need to go fishing. I need to get my head cleared. Let's go do some fishing." And so they get in the boat and they go out and they fish all night. And the story goes that they caught nothing. So they're coming back in again in the morning. And Jesus walks onto the shore and said, "How you guys doing?" Let's read it here. And he says to him, so Jesus said to him in verse 5, chapter 21 of John. So Jesus said to them, "Children, you do not have any fish, do you?" I think he knew they didn't have any. So he was like toying with them. "Do you have any fish on you?" They answered him, "No." And he said to them, "Cast the net on the right-hand side of the boat and you will find a catch." Again, this is the principle of communication with the Father. Identity leads you into communication and you get to find out what's happening around you. And then you get to move in the supernatural realm. Listen to what happens in this story. So they cast side of the boat and you will find the catch. So they cast and then they were not able to haul it in because of the great number of fish. What happened between an all-night chore and nothing happening to a simple word of Jesus telling them where to cast the net and everything changed in an instant? Communication, hearing from the Father and walking in it brings change and shifts things. And then verse 7, "Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, 'It is the Lord.' So when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put his outer garment on, for he was stripped for work, threw himself into the sea. But the other disciples came in a little boat, for they were not far from the land, but about 100 yards away, dragging the net full of fish." So notice there that something shifted in Simon Peter's heart when he was told, "This is the Lord." And that recognition came on him. Wow, this Jesus, he's turned up. We've caught this because he spoke. I remember this. This is who I was called to be. This is my identity. And that shift comes and he's so excited to get back in and to be with Jesus. He leaps into the water and goes to the shore before the boat even gets in. He wants to stand beside Jesus because that refreshing again had hit his heart, hit his spirit. And he wanted to align with the one true lover of a soul, the one that equipped him, the one that was training him, the one that commissioned him, the one that gave him authority over serpents, over death, over sickness and disease. Yeah, Peter wanted to be back right there with Jesus on the shore and reunite his heart with him, reunite back onto the focus that he had shifted from. He'd gone back into his old ways, but something ignited in him. His identity was rekindled again, and he wanted to go where his identity was most felt and yearned for. So in verse 9, "So that when they got out of the onto the land, they saw a charcoal fire already laid and fish placed on it. And Jesus said to them, 'Bring some of the fish with you you have caught now.' Simon Peter went up and drew the net to the land full of large fish, 153. And although there were so many that the net was not torn." So Jesus is asking him, reaffirming them. Bring me some fish. He didn't need fish. He was already cooking them breakfast on the beach. But the principle was there. The Lord was saying, I'm reaffirming you that you're no longer called to fish the waters. You're called to be fisher of men. You're called to actually change and shift the destiny, not just of Galilee, but of the nations, of Jerusalem and beyond. Mm-hmm. You are chosen, you're anointed, and you've been called. And I'm reaffirming your call today to say, get back on the shore. Find the Jesus on the shore. He's already there. He's not worried about the amount that you're trying to haul in, because he has poured a blessing upon you to provide provision for you and provision for others around you. He never just gives you what you need. He always supplies your need with a greater amount so that you get to bless others. Out of your need, you get to bless. You get to pour and sow into others and say, look, this has worked for me. What I've been blessed with, I want to give you some as well. Because out of my blessing, you get to tap into the anointing that I carry, which will call your heart to a higher place and call you into a deeper relationship with Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit that's been gifted to dwell inside of you, to bring that holy connection between you and heaven. Holy Spirit, he's there to create holiness within you. He's there to teach you. He's there to comfort you, and he's there to train you. So your identity is in who? Not in me. I'm nobody without him, but with him, I am everything. I am powerful to the what? To the pulling down of strongholds. I am a warrior, a prince, a king, a son of a king. I am everything in heaven. On earth, I get blessed with the ability to walk it out. And so by the renewing of my mind, when I hear the thoughts, well, you're not worthy, who do you think you are? You think you are somebody? No, you change that mindset and you kick that one into touch. That's wrong. It's a wrong mindset, because you are worthy. The blood of Jesus Christ made you worthy. And he accepts you for who you are. He washed you clean. The old has gone. Remember, you're in the new season. So start living life like you live for the new. Start living life that the past is gone, that the hooks in your back and the burden you carry is dropped off, dealt with by the blood of Jesus Christ. And start today to walk into your anointed and appointed future as a son or a daughter of the King of Kings. You will not miss the mark when you carry his guidance, when you point that arrow and the Lord says, release. And you know he said release, then release it. It will hit the mark and accomplish that which he sends it forward to do. When the power and the unction of the Holy Spirit is on you to operate in signs, wonders, and giftings that God has given you, and you get that prompt in your spirit to stop someone, to pray for them, or to tell them even just simply that, do you know that Jesus loves you today? Do you know that your life is about to change because God's just told me? And just have that encounter with him and allow God to step in the back of you being bold, of you moving out of your comfort zone, of you stepping out as no longer a grasshopper, but as a warrior princess, as a warrior king in the kingdom, and that you know that you have got the power of the Holy Spirit in you that gives you that authority to smack Goliath right between the eyes, take him down, take out his sword, cut off his head, never to let him rise again around people's lives. That's the authority that you have when you walk under the anointing of the Son of God, Jesus Christ, your King. He gives you all authority. He doesn't give you a smidgen. He gives you all authority. The vastness of it is on you. How much are you going to believe that when you step into it, it's going to go woof? Or you can stick with the little. Or you can realize as a son, as a royal person, that you've got all authority. All authority has been given to you because it's been given to Jesus Christ already. He's loving upon you today. And he's saying, if you've gone back to your old ways, if you've gone back to what you feel comfortable with, well, then shake yourself free. Get back in line with your Father today and come back. Even if it means on bended knee that you have to go back and say, sorry, God, I got it all wrong. I messed up again. Well, then do it and do it quickly, but make things right with the Father. Get back into the alignment, get back into the river, and begin the Spirit of God journey that's in you to bless others. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's about Him and His cross and His blood that carries the power. You know, and if we get to operate and flow in that, then that connection comes with our heart, with the Spirit of God in our gut, in our spirit, in our innermost being. Do you know what? You're called not just to be a dripping tap, but you're called to be a bubbling, overflowing well. You're called to be a well. You know, because in John chapter 4, yeah, when he's talking to the lady, the Samaritan lady, verse 13, he says, Jesus answered and said to her, everyone who drinks this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him shall never thirst. But the water that I will give him will become in him. This is talking to you, talking to me. This is what Jesus said. In him will become a well of water springing up to eternal life. So he's talking to her about getting a drink, which will change the thirst up, but he's actually telling her that it's not just the first drink. It creates a hunger. It creates a well in you deep down that's going to well up, and it's there for to actually spray out of you and to connect with others so they get that well in them. There's a bubbling that you haven't felt for a long while. There's a Spirit of God life that you haven't felt for a while. And right now, I just want to pray for you. So lay your hands in your heart and just say after me, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, you're welcome here. I'm hearing scripture. And what are you saying to me, Jesus, in the scripture? I will give him, shall never thirst, but the water I will give him, I will give you, will give me, will become in him a well of water springing up to eternal life. There is, so I release the flow of the water of God in you right now. The Spirit of God, just come and descend upon these people today, right now, in Jesus' name. Refire, re-equip, reinvigorate, refocus, get back on board, get out of the boat. It's not for you any longer. You're called to a higher purpose. Stop going back to the old purpose. Get into your higher purpose. Get in and seek God for what is. The plan of God is for your life today. Don't delay, folks. It's right there at your fingertips. He's the one that says, ask of me and I will give it to you. So let's be bold today. Let's go into the throne room of God and say, Father, I need, I want, I would like to see happen. I want the land of Russia. I want the land of Russia, Lord. My heart's for Russia. I'm asking you today out of Psalm 2:8. You say, if you ask of me the nations, you will give the nations. What does that look for me, God? How do we get from me stuck here to being speaking an availability of my spirit and my ability to travel into Russia to become the servant of the Most High God, taking the goodness of God into a land that I wasn't born in, but my spirit leaps when I hear about it? You know, so you need to tune into the Father today and find out what it is that makes you tick, what it is that makes you come alive. It's His water. It's His well. It's His Spirit that's in you. Get into it, tap into it, and allow that flow to be released. So, Father, today, right now, through the Holy Spirit, I just bless all. And, Father, we are no perfect beings in any shape or form, but we want to be the holy ones. We want to be the righteous ones. We want to be the ones that carry your heart for all around us. We want to be the one that just love for others oozes out of us. And we get to bless people in the name of Jesus Christ. We get to heal the sick in the name of Jesus Christ. We get to actually cast out demons, those afflictions and spirits that come to wear people down, tire them out, and make them feel unworthy. We want to be the people that goes in, Today, that's broken. Today, that is a no-go area for you demons anymore. And we shut the avenues, we shut down the doorways right now in Jesus' name, and we release the life of the Father to arise in you again and to set you free from all the bondage, all the rubbish of life that we allow to accumulate and build back up that takes us away and takes our vision of the Father. So right now we just say, Lord, let eyes be turned back onto you and let people see clearly what it is that you're saying today over their lives, to reignite that first love, to reignite that passion and come back into the alignment of, you're no longer called to be a fisherman. You're called to be a fisher of men. Some of you noticed the photograph I used today of the net with the older man sitting to the side of it. You don't want to get a few years down the line and think to yourself, oh my days, I've got a net here, but I haven't got the physical strength anymore to go out and fish as a fisher of men. You want to be young, strong, and vibrant, and connected with God, hearing what the Father is saying to you, so you get to use your net to bring in the 153, the big haul of fish, bring in provision, bring in the provision for the people that you're actually bringing into your nets, setting them free, setting them on a course that you're already on and excited about. Why not let them be excited about it? So ask God for ways to actually reach people. Ask God, even in your workplace, how do I communicate? You know, it fills me with fear, but yet I know, Lord, that there's a message that I carry, but I just need an opportunity. Lord, in your wisdom, how do I get the opportunity? You know, will you work with the Holy Spirit and get and create that so I get to give over to them? I get to win souls, because the Bible says that in Proverbs, he who wins souls is wise. So I just bless you with the power of the Holy Spirit to be fishers of men, to actually go after the lost, get in the harvest field. No point talking about it, no point looking at it, when Jesus has made the way perfectly clear. And he tells us that the laborers are few in the harvest field. So there's a ripe harvest out there, ready for those that say, God, here I am, send me. I'll go in the fields, I'll go in the harvest, I'll go anywhere for you, Lord. So it's about the yes in your heart. So change your yes today and realign it with the Father and say yes to him today in Jesus' name. Love you guys. Bless you. And we'll talk to you soon.